Members of the Haines Planning Commission disagree over what recommendations to make on the small boat harbor expansion design. And biomass boilers to help heat Haines are on their way to town. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. At a Haynesboro Planning Commission meeting last week, about 2 hours of discussion focused on the 95% design of the small boat harbor expansion. Some members of the public became hopeful that the commission would recommend major changes to the design. Planning Commission Chair Rob Goldberg began the conversation with this.
No piles have been driven on this project yet. No concrete has been poured. There is still a chance to make changes.
Dick Somerville of P&D Engineers, the firm contracted to design the harbor expansion, was teleconferenced into the meeting to answer questions. Several members of the public spoke about concerns with the proposed 700-foot steel wave barrier. Bill Kurz said he was concerned about the safety of boats navigating between the breakwater and cruise ships at the Port Chilkoot dock.
With a large cruise ship at the PC dock, it makes it tight for boats coming and going. It also makes it difficult for the fast ferry entering the dock at the PC dock.
Other residents advocated for the rubble mound breakwater to be extended instead of adding on a steel one. Engineer Somerville said the cost of the rubble mound barrier was too high for the financial limitations of the project.
We still recommend the rubble mound. We believe that the rubble mound, outside of cost, is the best option for protecting the harbor. But considering cost, when you bring that in, and considering that we have to be constrained by budget, it does not make the cut.
Resident Deborah Schnabel brought an alternative plan to the commission. She used elements from a previous design, 3A. It includes relocating Lookout Park so that it is not surrounded by a parking lot and installing one instead of two floats for slips. Schnabel said, according to P&D documents, that plan would save about $4 million.
So I'm asking the Planning Commission to correct an error that I think was made. The harbor design can have a smaller footprint, a higher aesthetic, and it can cost less to build and maintain with those two decisions. Number one, a one float system, and number two, relocate the waterfront park to the waterfront.
The idea of extending onto the current float instead of building another one didn't sit well with Don Turner, who is on the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee. Turner said a one-float design would cause congestion with human and boat traffic. Planning Chairman Goldberg said he thought Schnabel's ideas had merit. To that, Evelina Vignola said, hallelujah.
Because I felt like, who is leading this and why is this park in the middle of a parking lot? Why are we supposed to think that's a good idea? It's a bad idea.
How are we going to pay for this? That was another big question from residents. About $19 million in state funding does not cover the entire project. Here's Tresham Gregg.
Why not take another look at the potential for doing something that we can afford and that would give us the working slips that we need now without having to wait for manna from heaven?
Planning Commissioner Heather Lendy said if voters are eventually going to be asked to approve a bond to help pay for the harbor expansion, then the plan should be tailored to garner wider public support.
And if we pick a project that everybody likes, isn't it highly possible that the community would vote to bond it and we could get it done?
But the idea to recommend Schnabel's changes to the Borough Assembly only came to fruition halfway. The commission decided on 4 recommendations: to move Lookout Park to the waterfront, to ask the state coastal engineer to review the 95% design, to get more information about whether the distance between the wave barrier and cruise ships is safe, and to install anodes at the outset. They did not propose any changes to the parking lot, wave barrier, or float designs. The commission approved the recommendations 5-1, with Lendy opposed. She said the project and the planning process are not consistent with the borough's comprehensive plan. Commissioners Goldberg, Brenda Josephson, Lee Heinmiller, and Rob Miller agreed that the commission's role needs to be better defined for projects like this. Turner from the Port and Harbor Committee said people had their chance to speak out earlier in the process. He said his committee had dozens of meetings that people didn't show up to.
People need to pay attention to what's going on with stuff, and if you're not going to pay attention, don't bitch about it.
The Planning Commission's recommendations will go to the Borough Assembly, which will review the 95% design at an upcoming meeting. Three biomass boilers are on their way to Haines, and they may just wind up heating much of the town. While borough officials admit there is a risk, they say it's worth the $60,000 they paid for the used systems. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
The massive boilers are coming from Sitka and, in as little as a year, could be heating several local facilities. Biomass boilers use wood chips or pellets instead of oil or gas. And while there is much to be done before the boilers are actually up and running, one big stride was made last week during the Borough Assembly meeting. The Assembly adopted a resolution allowing Borough Manager Dave Sosa to purchase the used boilers to the tune of $60,000. The deal includes huge silos capable of holding 60 tons to store the chips or pellets and the necessary equipment to get it all cooking. A brand new biomass boiler costs around $400,000. So where does one acquire three used biomass boilers? Probably not Haines Buy Sell Trade. The borough is purchasing the lightly used boilers from the U.S. Coast Guard. One of them, however, was rebuilt after an explosion.
It wasn't the boilers had a failure, it was the way that they plumbed them together was the problem.
That's Darcy Colbeck, who is on contract with the borough to help facilitate the biomass project.
So during the testing phase, that explosion happened, Unilux came out fixed, and if you read where all the systems worked, the door blew off like it was supposed to blow off. The plugs blew out that were supposed to blow off. They fixed all that stuff and identified the design flaw, which was a Coast Guard design flaw. It wasn't the boiler's design flaw.
Assembly members Diana Lapham and Mike Case were looking for a warranty or some other assurance that these boilers aren't faulty. Colbeck said the boilers have been rebuilt and are in excellent condition. Here's that exchange, starting with Lapham.
One had exploded. And they have rebuilt it. And these are the other ones are used. What kind of a guarantee do we have? 30 day, 60 day, 90 day?
I actually do not know the answer to that question. I'm assuming that there's no warranty when it gets sold off surplus by the Coast Guard. I've talked to the Unilux who makes the boilers who say when they last saw the boilers, they were in like new condition. They'd done all the repairs.
Case wound up voting against the resolution, but the other five assembly members were in favor of the purchase. Borough Manager Sosa acknowledged that buying these huge burners is risky, but he said for the bargain price of $60,000, it's worth it.
We're taking a risk. It's $60,000. It's money from a grant, but if it doesn't work out, we'll have to pay that money back. I acknowledge that. I feel in this case, the risk is worth taking. We have an opportunity that if it works out, we'll have a great system. If it doesn't work out, we could potentially sell the boilers that do work and recoup most of our loss, so we might take a loss on these.
Colbeck says he's not sure if wood chips or pellets will be used. Both have their benefits and drawbacks. However, since wood chips are something that can be made and harvested locally, that could be a more cost-effective choice. Unilux, the manufacturer of the boilers, will train the locals hired to operate the system. And it's worth noting that the biomass heating system will not completely replace the oil-burning heaters used now. The original grant was for $1.3 million from the Renewable Energy Fund through the Alaska Energy Authority, with the thought that using biomass boilers to heat several buildings around town. But now, the borough is looking at a district-wide alternative. The boilers and everything that goes along with them could be housed in a central, out-of-the-way location, with pipes snaking to various locations, including the school, the pool, and possibly the library and the borough administration building. There is one building in town that is already utilizing a biomass heating system. The Haines Senior Center has been using pellets to heat the structure for a few years now. Ann Hansen, the former manager of the Senior Center, said that between the boiler and the weatherization improvements, the heat has never been better. But it's not been without its glitches, says Ron Jackson. Jackson is currently on the Borough Assembly and was the treasurer at the Senior Center when the pellet-fueled boiler was first installed. He said that yes, pellets are cheaper than oil, but the system did pose some challenges. With those wrinkles ironed out, Jackson says he thinks the Senior Center boiler project offers a learning experience for this next phase.
It was a perfect pilot test to kind of get our learning up, get the skills for doing the maintenance on it, learning how to fit it into buildings and what to consider as part of the whole package in the building.
In short, proponents say the biomass boilers will offer a cheaper, more climate-conscious heating option in Haines, but residents will have to wait a while to see just how those benefits affect them. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.